Our first reading is from Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith, and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. And I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, do not lay on you any other burdens. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. O Lord, have mercy on us. Second reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." And they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. O Lord, have mercy on us.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. In our Lenten season this year, we're using these seven letters of Jesus to the seven churches in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation. These are really good lessons for us to use during this season because Lent is traditionally a time for Christians to reflect on their Christian life and to seek improvement. And I know that's why you're here. That's why I am here. I always want to find that improvement in my life. These letters commend That's something we all as Christians need to hear, the commendations of God. Jesus did this often in his earthly ministry, but Jesus also condemns certain things that he finds in some of these particular churches. Thyatira was not a large city. It wasn't known for its culture or arts, more so for its industries, fabrics, leather, pottery, baking, bronze smithing. Lydia, the wonderful Christian lady we read about in the book of Acts, chapter 16, was from Thyatira. The people of Thyatira worshipped in especially the Greek god Apollo. Apollo was portrayed in statues as a young, handsome man, strong but not particularly muscular. He was bisexual, and he had a number of love affairs which didn't go so well. Very familiar story to us even to this day. In this regard, he would have fit in very well with our culture today. The Greek and the Roman towns wove together their religion, their worship of their gods, with their civic life. And when you lived in a town like Thyatira, you were expected. It was a matter of patriotism, civic duty, to participate in the pagan festivities of these temples. For those who lived there, this was really no problem, because they believed in many gods, and they would take up whatever god happened to be the popular one in that town, wherever they were. But of course, as you'll see, this was a huge problem for the Christians. First, let's address the commendation that Jesus gives to the church at Thyatira. He commends them for their works of love. They were not only excelling in works of love, they were accelerating. Jesus commends them because their works of love had grown from the time when they had first heard the gospel. Jesus says, "The last are more than the first." And for those of you who've been in these Bible classes we've been holding on Sunday mornings or in our worship services, you may remember that this was the opposite problem of the church of Ephesus, the first church that Jesus wrote to. That church did not excel in works of love, but was excelling in its faithfulness. Thyatira seems to have the very opposite problem. This problem in Thyatira had to do with a woman in the church. Jesus says that she describes herself as a prophetess. That is, she somehow has a connection to God and can tell people what God thinks, what God says, and what, especially what God wants them to do. Jesus gives her a very strong label from the Old Testament. He calls her Jezebel. And that's because Jezebel in the Old Testament was the wife of King Ahab. And Jezebel's known for forcefully bringing the worship of Baal into Israel. This woman was encouraging the people of the Christians of Thyatira with this false teaching that you can follow Jesus and you can worship in the temple of Apollo at the same time. You can follow Jesus and still be engaged in all the sexual immorality for which these temples were known for. Jesus condemns all of that, calls her directly to repentance, and all her, quote, children, that is, those who believed what she was saying and were following in her ways. They didn't repent. And Jesus warned that this will lead to their separation from God and their suffering. He called these teachings of this prophetess the depths of Satan. Jesus ends his letter commending the Thyatiran church to hold fast to what they have. Jesus urges them to avoid what I will call the Thyatiran temptation. And that's a temptation to focus on good works of love while being open to false doctrine and going along with the sins of the culture around us. We are all facing the same situation today. Really not quite as bad as what they were facing. The lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer culture that is around us is still not caught up with the same culture that the Thyatiran church and most of the first Christian churches in the Roman Greek world were facing. They also were facing what we're facing, a government that has taken up these lifestyles and is forcing them and imposing them on various aspects of the culture and of the nation in which we live. Some people may be tempted to think it's futile to resist both the seduction and the intimidation of the culture and the government. But Jesus says it is not futile at all. He urges them to hold fast, urges us to hold fast. I mentioned that Apollo was known for several sexual affairs. One of them included rape. You would not believe this, but even in the Greek and Roman world, rape was not always viewed as a sin and as an evil. And our culture is leaning in that direction as well. In fact, when you force people to accept your sexual morality, that is a kind of rape that is taking place. Jesus warned them against that and said, if you hold fast to the truth and to the love of God in Christ, you will one day smash these nations like an iron bar smashes a clay pot. And he also promises that those who hold fast will receive the morning star. Later, the book of Revelation tells us that Jesus himself is that bright and morning star. So the question before us, question before all the world today is still, which do you want, the depths of Satan or the morning star? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
Please stand.